Okay, this morning, rather this month, the theme that is that all of the churches are dealing with, are going to be speaking on, is on healing. Now, I wanted to share something from my heart that is on healing, but it is healing in and through the blood of Jesus Christ, because there's power in the blood of Jesus. And I want us to go through the scriptures this morning and take a look at in what way is there power in the blood of Jesus and how it affects us as believers, as individuals, as humans. So first of all, I'd like to talk about that there is salvation in the blood of Jesus. Let's open our Bibles. I'm going to be doing an exercise of a lot of Bible readings this morning. I love to back up what I say with the Word of God so you don't just believe me for what I'm saying. You believe it because you read it with your own eyes, what the Word of God says. Because that's what our strength, that's what our pillar, that's what our foundation is, on the Word. If you can open your Bibles to Matthew 26 and 28. We're going to take a look at the power in the blood of Jesus and how it affects us in salvation. Matthew 26 and 28. And it is written, "For this is my blood of the New Testament." This is Jesus speaking. "For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins." So this is when it was the Last Supper. The disciples didn't totally understand the things he was talking about. Excuse me. And so he was sharing with them, and he was talking about, as we talk about many times, the Last Supper. "For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins." Now, the word "many" can seem a little confusing. At times, I used to think in my early years as a Christian, well, that means Jesus only died for some people. It says many. But actually, the word in Greek, many, is inclusive, not exclusive. It's not that he died on the cross, that he shed his blood for only many, being a few people, but rather that it is all inclusive for all of humanity. Jesus died and shed his blood for the remission of sins. Acts 2 and 38, we read, "Then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." So again, Peter reaffirms what Jesus talked about in his ministry. And Peter now is the voice. He is the disciple. And reaffirming that Christ is, and it is in his name that we have the remission of sin. Romans 3 and 25 says, "Whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood." So the faith that we have is in his blood to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are passed through the forbearance of God. We keep hearing the term in Matthew, when Jesus spoke, in Acts when Peter spoke, in Romans as Paul spoke, the term remission of sin. What is remission of sin? Remission of sin means literally, from the Greek, freedom, pardon, deliverance, forgiveness, liberty. So in essence, Jesus shed his blood on the cross that we would be free, that we would be pardoned, that we would have deliverance, that we would be forgiven, that we would have liberty. So then when Jesus said, "For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the freedom, the remission, the freedom from the bondage of sin." And that's what Jesus did when he shed his blood on the cross. He set us free. We were free from being bound to sin. We were free to have eternal life. Because without that, without him dying, we would not have eternal life. When I mean eternal life, I don't mean you live eternally or you cease to exist at all. We are a living soul. We will exist after we die, no matter what. The question is, where will we be existing in eternity? In heaven or in hell? So when we talk about forgiveness of our sin, he took on the penalty of sin. He has, through the remission of sin, we have been free from the responsibility of the penalty of sin because he took it on himself. That allowed us the freedom to be and live in eternity with Jesus in heaven. And that's how there is power in the blood of Jesus. It's so powerful that it broke the requirement of the penalty of sin. To give us a better concept or understanding from what happened in the Old Testament and the New, let's look at Hebrews chapter 9. I want everyone to turn to Hebrews 9 because there's about four or five different verses in chapter 9 that we would like to make reference to. Hebrews chapter 9. Okay, Hebrews chapter 9, we're going to start with verse 7. And here they're making reference to sacrifice and comparing the Old Testament to the New Testament. And so in verse 7 it says, "But in the second went the high priest alone once every year." Now that has a significance. "Once every year, not without blood." So he went in to the tabernacle, the high priest, once a year. He didn't go in once a year. He went in constantly, but only once a year with blood, which he offered. Who did he offer unto God? The shed blood. He offered it for himself because he himself was a sinner, the high priest, and for, the scripture says, the errors of the people or the sins of the people. So he went in once a year and he had to make a sacrifice with blood for the sins of the people. Verse 12, "Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood," that is Jesus, "by his own blood he entered in once in the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us." So in the Old Testament, the high priest went in once a year and he had to give a blood sacrifice for the sins of the Jews. Christ went once and he only needed to do it once, to die on the cross so that we would have eternal redemption. Gee, that's why Jesus doesn't have to die every year. Once and for all, that we would have eternal redemption, that we would be redeemed of our sins. So the power of the blood of Jesus is so much more. If we understand the concept of what his dying did for us, it set us free eternally from damnation, that we would have eternal life. Verse 22, and this is key. Verse 22 says, "And almost all things are by the law purged with blood. And without the shedding of blood is no remission." What is remission? So without the shedding of blood, there is no freedom, pardon, deliverance, forgiveness, liberty. So the requirement from Father God is, in order to be absolved of your sin, it has to be only and can only be done through the blood. Now in the Old Testament, they had to do it every year because It was just animals. But when Jesus came and he died on the cross, he was without sin, who knew no sin. When he shed his blood, there was power in his blood to break once and for all the sin of man, the enmity that there was between Father God and humanity. And when he shed his blood, and he had to shed his blood, it wasn't good enough that Jesus just walked around talking about you got to be good, and you've got to obey the law, and you've got to cross your T's and dot your I's, and if you live a good life, then you got a chance of making it into heaven. The requirement was, in order to be forgiven for sin, somebody's got to shed their blood. That's the minimum requirement. And so Jesus shed his blood for you and for me, that we would have eternal life. So he came to die for you and for me. And when he did that, he broke off all sin over your life and over my life. Verse 25 and 26 says, "Nor yet that he should offer himself often, as the high priest entered into the holy place every year with the blood of others." We discussed that. "For then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world. But now once," he died once, "in the end of the world hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself." Jesus sacrificed himself. Father God's requirement is, there is no redemption. There is no freedom from sin unless there's the shedding of blood. And Jesus said, "I'm going to shed my blood, even though I committed no sin, so that humanity would be reconciled to you, Father, and have eternal life." That's how precious it cost him to die on the cross. That's why so many people try to reach God, try to go to heaven by so many different means, whether it's another religion, and they try to be good, and they try to walk in harmony, and they try to do good to others. There is no remission of sin without the shedding of blood. Whether it's Hinduism, Buddhism, even some so-called Christian denominations that don't like talking about the blood of Jesus, because through your good works you can get to heaven. Not true. The Bible is very clear. Somebody's got to die. Somebody has to shed their blood, because that is the minimum requirement for salvation. And Jesus did that. The power in the blood of Jesus, that he can give us eternal life as we acknowledge what he has done on the cross. Hebrews 10, 17 to 18. Just the next chapter over. "And their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Now where remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin." So here he's talking about, because Jesus died once and for all and shed his blood on the cross, there is remission of sin, or forgiveness of sin, and there's no more a need for an offering. As far as God is concerned, the Father, your debt has been paid. You are clear and free because of what Jesus did. The incredible insult to the Father is when we turn away the acknowledgement of what Jesus did dying on the cross and the shedding of his blood, and that we can get to heaven by being good, or that these other religions say, well, you know what, all ways lead to God, as long as you do good. It's a slap in the face to God of what Jesus did in shedding his blood, that we would have eternal life. So there is salvation in the blood of Jesus.
and there is eternal life in and only through the blood of Jesus. First Peter 1 and 18 to 19 says, "For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot." Reaffirmation again from Peter. It's because of the precious blood of Christ that was shed on Calvary that we have eternal life, that we have been forgiven. 1 John 1 and 7, "But if you walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin." You can't be any more clear than that. It's because of the blood of Jesus that was shed on the cross that we are cleansed, we are forgiven of our sin. Revelation 1 and 5 says, "And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood." Revelation 1 and 5. He washed us. Jesus washed us from our sins. How? In his own blood. And that's how we have salvation, because of what Jesus did and because he shed his blood. And there is power in the blood of Jesus, because it is so powerful that it can redeem us. It can cause us to be forgiven. It can set us free from the bondage of sin. There is so much power in the blood of Jesus. Let us not forget what he has done. Let us not forget what it cost him by dying on the cross. So, first of all, there is salvation in the blood of Jesus and the power of salvation because of what Jesus did. Second of all, there is healing in the blood. Let's turn to Isaiah 53 and 5. I'm sure you're familiar with this, but we'd like to reacquaint ourselves. Isaiah 53 and 5. And this verse is referring prophetically to Jesus. Isaiah 53 and 5. And it states, "But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed." Mark 15 and 15 recounts what Jesus went through. And it states, "And so Pilate, willing to content the people, released Barabbas unto them and delivered Jesus when he had scourged him to be crucified." What does that mean, when he had scourged him? Well, the word scourge in the Greek means a whip that was used by the Romans. It was a leather strips on a handle, and the leather strips had on them lumps of sharp bone or sharp lead on the end, so that when they whipped whoever they were punishing, and those sharp edges grasped the flesh, when it pulled back, it pulled the flesh back with it. And that's what scourging is, the whipping for punishment. And Jesus was whipped, and flesh was ripped from him. 2 Corinthians 11:24 says, and this is speaking of Paul, but it has reference to scourging. "Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one." 39 times, Paul is saying. Every time there was a beating, It was done 39 times. So Jesus was whipped, not once, not twice, 39 times. That is unfathomable. The pain and the suffering. Being the flesh being ripped off his back. 1 Peter 2 and 24 says, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. So we recognized that Jesus was beaten, scourged, and again in Isaiah and now here in Peter, because Peter makes reference to Isaiah 53, it says that we were healed by his stripes. What does it mean by stripes? Does it mean stripes on his back? Because oftentimes when we see movies, it portrays, you know, when Jesus is beaten and then it pulls back, stripes on his back, although it doesn't even really do justice to the pain and suffering that was caused. It wasn't just stripes on the back. It was flesh that was being pulled. But what does the word stripes mean? So I went in and took a look in Isaiah, in the Hebrew, stripes means black and blue marks, bruise or wound. In the New Testament, here in Peter, it means a blow mark. So, in other words, it's not stripes like we think of it as English people. Oh, okay, he had some little stripes on his back. No, it means that he received, it was because of the blows, the black and blue marks, the bruises, the wounds. It was through those that we are healed. It's through Jesus suffering and receiving blows and being black and blue and bruised and wounded. It is through that that we are healed. I wanted to get a deeper meaning and understanding of the word healed because it's in direct reference to the stripes or the wounds. The word healed is taken from a very well-known verse, meaning that we have. In the Old Testament, the word healed means Rapha. Now, you're familiar with the word Rapha because of Jehovah Rapha, right? The Lord, our healer. The Lord, our, another word is our physician, or to heal, or to make whole, or to cure. Same thing in the New Testament. The word healed is to heal, make whole, or cure. So it makes reference here that by Jesus bruising and being beaten and being wounded, we are cured. We are made whole. We are cured of whatever sickness, ailment that we have. Now that could be physical, that could be emotional, that could even be spiritual, which makes then reference back to salvation. So it was by Jesus suffering, by his being battered and beaten, that you and I find healing. And that's where there's power in the blood of Jesus. It was through his suffering that we are healed. The third thing that I want to review is that we have deliverance in the blood of Jesus. There is deliverance in the blood. Revelation 12, I'd like everyone to turn to this. Revelation 12, 10 to 11. So we have salvation in the blood of Jesus, eternal salvation by him dying on the cross. We are healed because of his suffering, his shedding his blood, his being wounded. We can find healing. And we can also find deliverance. Revelation 12, 10 to 11 says, and I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives unto death. Again, reference to the blood of the Lamb. Question, verse 11. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. Who are they? Verse 10 makes reference to that. The brethren, the believers, those that believe on Christ and have him as Savior. They, we, you, me, we overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. Who is him? Verse 10 says, for the accuser. Another name for the accuser that we know of is Satan. Because the Bible makes reference to him accusing us day and night. So the believers, those in Jesus, those that have accepted him as Savior, those that have acknowledged his dying and shedding his blood on the cross for our sins, gives us eternal life. We as believers overcame him, the enemy, Satan, the deceiver, and all that he represents, demons, evil. How? How did they overcome him? How did they overpower him? How did they defeat him? Not in their own selves. We cannot in our own selves defeat the devil. Can't. Impossible. But in the blood of Jesus, that's where there's power for deliverance of all that is evil and all that is of the devil. It's in the blood of Jesus that we have authority. That was the only way that they overcame him. That's the only way that they had such authority. You have authority. I have authority over the devil. Because of we acknowledging the blood of Jesus that was shed on Calvary. It defeated. You see, Satan was defeated at the cross. He will not be defeated in the future. He's already defeated. And he knows it. So it's important to look at the cross. It's important to look at the blood that was shed. It's important to acknowledge the power in the blood. There is eternal salvation in the blood of Jesus. There is healing in the blood of Jesus. There is deliverance and authority in the blood of Jesus. I felt it was very important to share this. It's been on my heart for a very long time to share the importance of the blood of Jesus and the significance. Sometimes we get so caught up on the giftings and on the gifts of the Spirit that we forget about the blood. We forget about what it cost Jesus to give us eternal life. We forget about the power in the blood of Jesus. And that it was because of the blood that we have eternal life. It was because of the blood of Jesus that we can have victory over the devil. We can have victory over the enemy. We can have victory over our sickness. We can have victory in every area of our life. But it all starts at the blood. There is no religion, to my knowledge, that has such power in the redemptive work of someone dying on the cross that we can have eternal life except in and through Christ. And that's why the message is so strong and so important. That when we talk to people about Jesus, when we talk to people, the power is in the blood. Salvation is in the blood. when we share the gospel of Jesus Christ, we not only share how good Jesus is, we not only share that there's healing in Jesus, but we've got to share it was because of Jesus dying on the cross and shedding his blood that we all have eternal life. Because without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. I want to ask the band to come up. I want us to spend some time worshiping. I don't want us to be rushed. That's why I purposely set apart some extra time. No rush. I want us to spend time worshiping the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. And if you have a need, any need, sickness, and you want God to heal you, redemption, you've never accepted Jesus into your heart as your Lord and Savior, deliverance, there are things in your life where you feel you have no victory, but it's clear you do in and through the blood of Jesus.